Good evening, I'm Sean and I lead the youth ministry here in the parish of Ashted, and I get the joy tonight of introducing our new series to you. It's called Moses Adventuring with God, and over the next 8-9 weeks we're going to look at Moses, but maybe in a way that you didn't think before. We're going to look through parts of his story and how that actually might connect with us in our lives. So the first topic, the first thing we're going to look at is this idea of resisting the pressures that come up in our lives. So to start, I want you to turn to someone next to you, or if you're an introvert yourself, and ask, where do your pressures, or hypothetical friends' pressures, come from? Okay. If you want to draw some of those to a close, not wishing to interrupt lively discussion. So I came up with a short list, and I wonder if what you talked about agreed with. So these are my five areas where I think our pressures come from. The first one on my list is family. Whether that's recently the pressure to see each other at Christmas, the pressure you might have from other members of your family to achieve, to reach certain careers or to do certain activities with your life, to live your life a way that your family think they should. Then there are friends. Whether that's the pressure to go out and see your friends instead of being at home and working, whether that's doing homework or maybe that's relaxing. Teachers or bosses or leaders. To learn, the pressure to learn or work in a certain way. That might be clubs we're involved in, societies we're involved in. We've got church, religion, faith. Pressure to perhaps worship a certain way, sing songs a certain way, to pray a certain way. I find it interesting that two of the most watched TV shows from last year, which I've not watched either of them, is Fleabag. Yeah, hands up if you've watched Fleabag. Okay, that's good. And Afterlife. Anyone watched Afterlife? That's Ricky. Oh, there's a hand at the back. Good. That's Ricky Gervais on Netflix about what happens when you die. But both in that show, which talks about obviously this idea of life after death, and in Fleabag, in which one of the main characters in the second season is a vicar, we have mainstream media portrayals of religion. Or whether maybe that's just in the newspaper you see, which brings on to the final point of the media. Newspapers, social media, pressure on how we should look. Again, pressure on what success looks like. Success and what a certain way of life, particularly perhaps a British way of life, looks like. All of these give us pressures to act in a different way to how God wants us to act. Pressure that takes us away from the life that God wants us to lead. Did anyone last year see the movie Yesterday? Good, thank you. Thanks for the support. So, Yesterday, the premise is a guy happens to be unconscious at the same time that the entire world has a blackout and wakes up to a world where the Beatles didn't exist. And this one bloke is the only one in the world who knows the Beatles. He knows that they existed. He also knows all their songs. And so one of the main plot lines of this movie is that this guy sets about to write for the first time all these original Beatles songs. And I'd like to play you a clip now from this movie where he's struggling to write one of the most popular songs of the Beatles, arguably, Hey Jude. Watch this.
I don't believe you.
What?
I don't believe you. It's one genius idea after the other, you know?
Oh, like, right.
About the song, the title, Hey Jude. Jude is just, it's a bit old-fashioned. That was the kid's name, right?
What kid?
That the song's about.
Oh, the kid, yes, the sad kid.
Now, let me just give you this advice, right? Song title. I won't charge you a penny for it as well. Hey Dude.
Hey Dude. Hey, dude, are you sure?
He's right. That's so much better.
Is he? Is it?
Yeah. Hey, dude. Don't make it bad.
This is definitely going to be one of the best songs of the generation.
Hey,
wake up.
Dude.
Wake up, Joe.
Hey, dude. Don't make it bad. Do da do da do da.
I recommend it. If you haven't seen it, it's brilliant. But this gives you on the idea of actually pressure to change the way that sometimes we're so certain that we should do things a certain way, and then someone comes along and is so convinced that you should do it a different way, that it can sometimes be hard to argue for our own thoughts and beliefs. So that brings us on to the passage tonight, which is in the book of Exodus, and we're going to start in chapter 1, verse 15. So let's read it. The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, whose names were Shiphrah and Puah, "When you are helping the Hebrew women during childbirth on the delivery stool, if you see that the baby is a boy, kill him. But if it is a girl, let her live." The midwives, however, feared God and did not do what the king of Egypt had told them to do. They let the boys live. Then the king of Egypt summoned the midwives and asked them, "Why have you done this? Why have you let the boys live?" The midwives answered Pharaoh, "Hebrew women are not like Egyptian women. They're vigorous and give birth before the midwives arrived." So God was kind to the midwives, and the people increased and became even more numerous. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families of their own. This is the story that precedes the birth of Moses, that well-known Sunday school story where Moses, as a little baby, is placed in the basket by his mother and floated down the stream, eventually being picked up by the people in the palace and raised as one of their own. The midwives in this story faced quite a big pressure from the king. There are two types of pressure that we face in our lives. We have positive and we have negative pressure. For example, there is nothing wrong with achievement, whether that's achieving grades, going to a top school, working for a FTSE 100 company, having a good car, five-star holidays, looking like you just fell out of a catalogue, wearing the latest brands. Nothing wrong with that, but not at the expense of your own values, morals, ideas, self-esteem, financial security, mental health, or at the expense of what you know to be right or wrong. Then we have the negative pressures. The pressure to maybe succeed, but at the expense of others. The pressure to lie, to gossip, to exclude others, to make mean comments in order to get the approval of others. We all face these positive and negative pressures in our lives, and we might be the ones also giving out those pressures. So don't kind of sit here tonight going, "Oh, but I could never do that. I would never be a victim of that, or I would never be a perpetrator of it myself." Thing is, we all know how to be good and bad, and probably spend most days hovering between those two areas. Given the right pressures of ourselves, we're all capable of what we might previously have thought would be unimaginable. So why should we resist pressures? And we can look at the story for this. Three things. First of all, to be good. Actually, what the king was asking those midwives to do was to kill children. And even on the base level, we can all agree that's not a good thing. This is actually the second time I've now talked about killing children within a month from up here. But the midwives resisted the pressure to do something that was evil. And whether that's a big thing, hopefully none of you are facing that pressure, but, or whether it's a small thing. We all know, we all have an idea of what is good and what is not. So we should resist pressure to do good. Secondly, we should resist pressure to please God. What the king asked the midwives to do was against God's plan. And by resisting that pressure, I would suggest that that maybe was what allowed the baby Moses to be taken in and to survive. It allowed God's plan to be completed by resisting that pressure. But it was to please God, because it says in the passage, the midwives feared God. They knew who God was, and they wanted to please him. They wanted to do God's will. They wanted to go along with God's plan. And finally, we should resist pressures because we have a chance to show others what God is like. As I was reading this passage, I was wondering if perhaps the courage of these midwives to stand up to the king, to resist that pressure themselves, was what maybe inspired others in the land to not, you know, not to hide away their own children. Maybe it was the courage of the midwives that inspired Moses' parents to put him in a basket and float him away to save his life. But what happens when that doesn't go to plan? Now, I know that I've sat with, since Christmas, chocolate everywhere. And for those of you who are maybe going, January is going to be a good month, I'm praying for you, because I know what it's like to be surrounded by chocolate, and it's very easy to give into that pressure. But when the pressure is something that's not just about a small thing about what we eat, when it's about how we live our lives and what we do, then the consequences can be bigger. And we know so often that we give into the pressures and we get things wrong. I want to take you back to my university days. I went to university in Edinburgh. And when you go to university, or even when you start a new job, when you move house, when you move church, you get a fresh start. Chances are no one will know who you are. No one will know your hobbies, what you like doing. No one knows your past. So in a new group of people, the temptation is to always try to fit in, to be who you want to be with the people you meet. You almost get a chance to rewrite yourself, to cast yourself as a new character. Obviously, there are limits. When I went to uni, I didn't pretend to be like a pro rugby player or a weightlifter because obviously I don't quite have the stature. But I could pretend to rewrite my personality or have likes, different dislikes. In my first year, it was very normal for me to go out clubbing quite a lot in the week. It was great. I loved dancing the night away, whether that's the kind of, you know, modern dance tunes. I'm really embarrassing people down here. Modern dance tunes or to, you know, bagpipes, because it was Scotland. Followed by getting up at 9 a.m. for lectures the next morning. That was my university, and it wasn't a time when I resisted pressures. It was a time when I gave into them. And it was a time where I was far from God. After my first year, I made a decision to resist those pressures, to commit to God. I still had fun. I still had my friends. But my friendships improved dramatically because I was resisting those pressures, that I was actually standing up for my friends. And I could see my lifestyle, my living with God, affecting the lifestyles of others around me. In first year, if I did go to church, I would kind of sneak out and not let anyone know where I was going. And then in my second year, that changed. I made sure my friends knew that I was a Christian and I was involved with church. When Jesus spoke to crowds of people, he told them that they were the light of the world. And he said, "Let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." Being bold in faith, resisting pressures, can be hard in life that's day to day, even more so when you start a new thing. But you should never be afraid to stand out, to resist those pressures. And I would encourage you to pray for courage and power to resist those pressures. And we can't expect for us to always behave perfectly. Sure, we're meant to be like Jesus, but Jesus is the only one who is perfect. And perhaps that's what has put you off from going all in, to making that commitment, to resist those pressures that you mess up so much and that you feel like your life is a mess. And all because you're not perfect, why would God want me? What's the point in relationship with Jesus? The thing is, because as Christians we believe that Jesus is living, that he is alive, and that he died to make up for all the wrong things we've done, all those things we sung about during our time of worship, and the fact that he rose again from the dead so that we could be in a relationship with him. Jesus is living with us. So the next time that we do give in to those pressures, when we tell a little lie, when we put someone down, when we do something we really know we shouldn't, Jesus is there. But Jesus is there, and he's not shouting at you. He's not tutting. He's not being sarcastic with you or passive-aggressive Jesus. He simply says, "I love you. You know what you did was wrong. And you know what? I don't want you to do that. But I love you. Whatever reason you just did what you just did, it's not your fault." Jesus says that he wants us to get to know him, so that he can show us how special and how unique we all are. to show us the real reasons for life, and to constantly remind you that he loves you, that he died for you, and that any mess, any pressure you face is not an issue. Let's pray. God, thank you that whether we are all out committed to you, or whether we feel so far from you, that you know every area of our lives. You know the pressures that we face. You know those small things that we get wrong. And you know those huge things that burn on our hearts and that we hope so much that no one will ever find out. You know the big things and you know the detail, God. Thank you for that. And so I encourage you in your heart now, ask God to be with you. Offer yourself to him again and say, God, I want to be in relationship with you. God, I know that I face pressures, but I want to face them with you. And perhaps if this is your first time of doing this, ask God to be with you. Say sorry for the things you have done. Ask for his forgiveness now. God, thank you that you give all of us a fresh start every day. God, thank you that you call us out into places that are challenging, that are going to stretch our faith. But God, thank you that you are in all those situations with us. Thank you, God, that you never fail and that you're always fighting for us. Amen.
Hello, my name is Helen and I've been coming to St George's Church for about 7 months now. Prior to about a year ago, I was not a Christian. I wasn't brought up in the Christian household. I was brought up in a household which was probably atheist, very science versus religion. I always thought the idea of it was quite nice, but that I just couldn't believe in that kind of thing. But I had always gone along to Christmas carols at church, more out of tradition really, but I do remember always feeling a really nice feeling when I went to church to sing the carols. There was a lovely comforting feeling that I used to feel when we were there, so it was nice to sort of come back to that later.
Hello, my name's John and I've been coming to church at St Giles now for over a year. Cabbage, we used to boil it in the 1960s, boil it until it was tasteless, no flavour whatsoever. We tried to revive the colour with this stuff called bicarb, but that didn't really work, it was completely tasteless. Then, a great discovery, I walked into a friend's kitchen in the late 1960s, his mum used aubergines, wonderful peppers, she'd been to France, and she used this, garlic. What a wonderful smell, what a wonderful thing. It changed my life in terms of food forever. And thinking about boiled cabbage, that's very much had been my experience of church. Very much going along to simply with school, to carol concerts, to weddings, to funerals. Just not really without much meaning for me. I attended church occasionally to support my wife, but really didn't go regularly. Again, not very much meaning.
And I got chatting to a friend who's a Christian and was asking her some questions. She was very open with me and she lent me a book, and it was quite an evidence-based book, which meant that I could answer some of the questions that I had. Then that prompted me to want to investigate further, so I really deeply delved into researching online, watching YouTube documentaries, videos, Googling questions about things that I didn't understand. And then that kind of, so I got some links, I could understand some things, but the thing for me that brought it all together was learning that Jesus' followers had actually gone into hiding and actually felt really scared when he had died on the cross. And so for me, it was like, well, what made them go from that to then coming out and proclaiming they'd seen him, he was alive, and everything he'd said was the truth, and actually risking their lives for that, and many of them were killed because of the way they were so, yes, this is true. To me, that could have only been that something really big happened, like the resurrection. They must have seen him, because you just wouldn't keep lying that long and risk dying. And so, yeah, that's my journey, really, and I've been coming to church now for some months and really enjoy it, learning more and more.
And then Advent 2016. Went along, don't know what came over me, didn't understand what came over me, but I felt something, and I felt great peace. A bit later on, had the opportunity of going on an Alpha course, which was really helpful. It gave me time to think and think about something which was rather a hole in my otherwise totally enjoyable life. I think people have described that as a God-shaped hole, and I now understand that to be so. Then, yes, during that course, on the 3rd of November 2018, wow, that was Holy Spirit weekend, and I felt great peace come over me. Great understanding, but yet at the same time, I knew that I didn't have to understand everything. And since then, yep, very much garlic. Very much my life has become much more complete, and it's been great to discover and be with God.